Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Matt, I've got here Bucky Brooks, top five players at each position.
Oh, fun. We haven't dug into like the fourth safety and things like that.
Here. But Bucky does good work on NFL.com. Let's see what he has come up with here. And we'll start at quarterback.
Yeah, buzz through these.
He's got Caleb Williams at one. Jaden Daniels, two.
Does he? Wow.
Drake May, three.
Not everyone loves May. And I feel like he's getting a little bit of the short end of the stick at this point. But, May.
He's got Michael Penix, four.
Okay.
And J.J. McCarthy, five.
Okay, so Nick's outside.
Nick's is outside the top five. He has Penix ahead of McCarthy.
I understand that. Really good passer of the football. Yeah, and I mean, tough and, right.
Throws the ball well.
He does. His mobility worries me.
Yeah. And his keep an eye on Bo Nix. So that's his sixth guy.
Okay.
At running back.
We haven't talked about this at all. Who even the names are, but barely.
I don't know if any of these guys hear their name called.
I bet none are top 50.
Before the Steelers pick at 52.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Maybe we'll change our tune. Someone will light up the combine or something.
That can always happen. Right. So number one is Jonathan Brooks, out of Texas.
He's coming off a major injury.
Yeah. Two is Trey Benson out of Florida State.
He's a banger. I mean, he's an old school. He'd have went earlier 20 years ago.
Yeah. Three is Blake Corum from Michigan.
Okay. Smaller.
He's small. I don't want to say he's Christian McCaffrey, but he's Christian McCaffrey sized.
Yeah.
Like 205 pounds.
Mm-hmm. And McCaffrey wore down as the season went on, too. I mean, he was the other guy in Michigan is pretty good.
Yeah. Four is Bucky Irvin, out of Oregon.
He's more electric, third down type-ish from what I've understood.
Yeah. And five is Audric Estime.
Oh, the Notre Dame dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I pronouncing that right?
Estime, I think.
He's got the little flair on the end.
Yeah, does he? Okay. I don't think any of those guys will be Steelers.
Keep an eye on Braylon Allen.
He's another banger, Wisconsin, huge downhill dude.
Like if the Steelers had a need at running back,
he would be my bet
that he was going to be the Steelers running back.
Yeah. A little bit heavy footed, but he's a banger, old school Ron Dane type from Wisconsin. Yeah.
At wide receiver, this is a deep.
It's hard to figure out five. Yeah.
Marvin Harrison one.
Okay.
He's got a Dunzier second. Malik
Neighbors
three.
I prefer Neighbors from what I've seen, but I see the argument for both.
Yeah.
Four is where I think.
And all three of those guys are probably going top 10. So, yeah. We're really splitting hairs there.
Right.
Four, he has Keon Coleman.
I like Thomas better than Coleman.
And he has Thomas at five.
Okay. But boy, 6 through 10 are really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you're leaving a lot of good names off.
And Coleman was a college basketball player as well.
Mm-hmm. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's keep an eye on Ladd McConkey.
Okay.
I think Ladd McConkey might end up sneaking into the end of the first round.
I've heard that he may run in the 4.3s.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these light-skinned slot fellas don't run fast 40s. They're quickness and change of direction guys. But if he lights it up and he's not tiny.
No, he's a good size receiver.
If he runs the 4.3s, he could be a chief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At tight end.
This isn't a great group.
Brock Bowers, one.
Yeah.
Jatavion Sanders, two.
Okay.
He's got Cade Stover out of Ohio State, three.
Okay.
He's got Theo Johnson from Penn State, four.
He's a work in progress, but he's interesting.
Yeah. And A.J. Barner from Michigan, five.
Barner's more the Steeler type, the 6'5", 6'6", better athlete than, Gentry. But, I mean, he's the Steeler inline type.
Yeah, coming from Michigan, he's blocked a lot.
I think the Ohio State dude does a fair amount, too.
Yeah. His keep an eye on is Ben Sinnott from K-State.
He's interesting because he's kind of the fullback tight end tweener.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how the Steelers are going to dress fullback. I doubt they'll draft him in the fourth round or anything, but he's kind of interesting. You know, yeah. They'll line up all over the place.
The offensive tackles, and this is just such a...
What a good group.
Really good group. You got Joe Alt from Notre Dame.
He seems to be pulling ahead of the pack.
Yeah. You got Fashanu from Penn State at 2.
Okay.
At 3, he's got Talisi Fuaga from Oregon State.
Okay.
At 4, he has Armarius Mims from Georgia.
Okay. I see the argument for all those guys. I mean, and 3 through 7.
Yeah, he's got Latham at 5.
Gotcha. So Guyton's not even on there.
No.
You know,
it just shows you how good
he is, right?
And those 5 guys could all be gone by the time the Steelers pick.
I think Guyton could, too. It could be 6 gone.
Could be 6, I mean, yeah.
So who's his keep an eye on?
His keep an eye on is Troy Fatanu from Washington.
Okay. I'm not sure if he's guard or what. Or, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure whoever drafts him is going to give him an opportunity.
Probably.
To play tackle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unless a team that's really good at tackle and not instigator.
And he was supposed to go to the Senior Bowl and didn't. I would have liked to have seen how long are your arms?
Yeah. Of that nature. I mean, we'll know that stuff in a month, but I mean, it's still, he didn't do himself any favors by not going.
Yeah. Interior blockers. He's got Graham Barton 1.
Well, he wouldn't be my one, but his versatility is interesting, and people rave about him.
Yeah. He's got Jackson Powers Johnson, too.
Okay. Both those guys look like long-term starters, you know.
He's got Cooper Beebe from K-State, 3.
Okay.
Christian Haynes from Connecticut, 4.
That adds up.
Zach Zinter from Michigan, 5.
I don't know the extent of his injury. I mean, is there any chance he plays next year?
I think wasn't it a broken leg?
Yeah. Frazier's was a broken leg. I'm not sure what Zinter's was.
I think Zinter was a broken leg. I heard Frazier's actually running now.
Yeah. There were reports. He goes to O-line Mastermind, which is Duke Mannyweather. He's an O-line specialist. And there's video of him, like, running on a treadmill. And that was, like, a month ago.
Yeah.
Ooh. Crazy.
I mean, I talked to him at the Senior Bowl. He said he hopes to be cleared in time to work out at the Combine. If not, he'll definitely work out at West Virginia's
Pro Day. Yeah. No, he's a tough dude.
He's keep an eye on.
It's a pretty good group, though, overall, the interior.
JV and Cohen from Miami.
Mm. Yeah, he looks like a late second, early third type of guy.
And a good player.
Good player, yeah.
On the edge, on the defensive side of things, he's got Dallas Turner 1.
I feel like you could shake these up and put them in almost any order.
He's got Leitu from UCLA, 2.
Okay.
Jared Versey from Florida State, 3.
They're usually the top 3.
Chop Robinson, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Braylon Trice from Washington, 5.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they all were in the first-round mix.
Yeah. Keep an eye on Chris Braswell from Alabama as his
He didn't blow me away at Senior Bowl, but, I mean, I think he's a second-round pick.
Yeah.
I mean,
defensive tackles, and this is why when we talk about, you know, I've seen a lot of people, Steelers need to draft a defensive tackle in the first round. Not from this group.
Certainly not
in the first round.
The two best ones are short.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they even fit. I mean, the two that I think have a real good chance to be in the first round.
He's got Jerzon Newton, 1.
Yeah, it's one of the two.
So he's 6'1".
Yeah.
He's got Byron Murphy, 2. He's 6'1".
He's 6'1". Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're short, stocky, explosive
type. They're like 6'1", 295 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
not
what you're looking for.
Not what you're looking for.
He's got T'Vondre Sweat, 3.
I understand that, but he's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would be a nose in this defense and nothing else.
In every defense. Yeah.
At 4 is Chris Jenkins from Michigan.
Good player. A lot of those Michigan dudes get more productive in the pros because they're not asked to freelance much and, you know.
At 5 is Darius Robinson from Missouri. I'm glad he lists him as a defensive tackle.
Yeah. I bet he goes, he might be the third one off the board of that group.
Yeah, because he actually fits the, he's the 6'5", 300-pounder that looks like Adonis.
Yep. Did a little homework on the Clemson kid with the funny name, Oko or whatever.
Oroko.
Yeah. He's got more promise than I thought.
Yeah,
he might be talking
bad.
About him a lot.
He's
after
not
the,
bad.
Yeah, like that might be the move in like the third round.
His keep an eye on is Brandon Dorius from Oregon.
Okay. People are quite high on him, too.
Yeah, he's another one that's, if you look at his, if I'm remembering this right, 6'3", 272.
Yeah.
Could he bulk up a little bit? Perhaps.
Perhaps. But he might not be a full-time. I mean, he won't be a full-time player right off the bat.
Yeah.
And every defense will look at him differently, too.
The linebackers. He's got Edger and Cooper, number 1 out of Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
At two, he's got Jeremiah Trotter out of Clemson.
Okay.
Three is Peyton Wilson out of NC State. Four, Cedric Gray out of North Carolina.
Okay.
Five, Junior Colson out of Michigan.
All those guys would be useful. Yeah. You know, I just don't know if I want to pay the price that they're going to cost on draft day. They're probably all day two guys.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to spend a second round pick on one of those guys.
But if any of those names were there in third, I'd be,
I would consider
there.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would consider it. Then you're having that quarterback linebacker conversation.
Mm-hmm. And probably have a need or two filled in the first two rounds and free agency at that point.
Yeah. Keep an eye on Marist Liafu out of Notre Dame.
Okay. I need to do homework on him then.
He's interesting.
Okay.
He's interesting.
Is he more of a fourth round type maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. And fly around defensive captain type.
Mm. Captains at Notre Dame always like, probably going to be all right. Yeah.
At cornerback, Terrion Arnold, number one.
Seems to be what most people were going with on that lately.
He's got Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, number two.
Okay.
I get size and length and all that stuff. I get it. He's got Cooper DeJean, number three.
Okay. I think he's only going to go up in the draft Nick's eyes.
He's got Quinyon Mitchell, number four.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, number five.
Okay, so Lassiter's not on there.
Lassiter's not there.
Is he probably would he be like the – is there six of them that are in the mix?
He's got
– And Rakestraw, too,
He's got Rakestraw as his six.
Okay. I mean, it seems like there's six that are in the first-round mix.
Yeah. My problem with Lassiter and Rakestraw is they don't take the ball away.
I know. That's one thing about Mitchell. He's got great ball skills. Yeah. DeJean has great ball skills. You know,
I mean, if I'm taking a corner in the first round, I want him to take the ball away.
Mm-hmm. A couple of those guys are a little skinny for my taste, too.
Yeah. We'll see. And then the safety class. He's got Tyler Newbin, number one.
Solid.
Cameron Kinchins, number two.
Okay.
Javon Bullard, number three.
I feel like he's going to be a second-round pick, and I'm not sure I'm willing to pay that for the Steelers.
He could be your slot, though.
I know. Yeah.
That's basically where he lined up at Georgia.
A lot.
Kalen Bullock out of USC is four, and Tyke Smith out of Georgia is five.
He also has slot capabilities from Georgia. A little bit different body type, I think, than Bullard.
Yeah, he's taller.
Mm-hmm.
And his keep an eye on is Bo Brady out of Maryland.
Maryland. Okay. I know people were pretty high on Brady as a day two type of guy. So it sounds like a lot of day two safeties in
Brady
this class.
Brady was supposed to be at the Senior Bowl and didn't
for some reason or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Safety's interesting because I do think when you're shopping in the free agent world, safety might be the most friendly for the Steelers, most friendly waters to shop. But it doesn't mean you still wouldn't want a special teamer slash developmental guy as opposed to two on veteran contracts, one of which is quite pricey.
I can't get past the mock drafts that I keep doing, and I end up taking Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round and Tyler Newbin.
Seems
in the
very
second.
Safe and very immediate help.
Tyler Newbin had 13 interceptions in Minnesota.
Really productive. Yeah,
I mean he's big. He's long.
I'm curious what his exact measurements will be here in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
but he has good size. He runs well. Productive. Smart.
Like pairing him with Minka would be nice.
That would be real nice.
Yeah,
and it'd be. You would presumably be very good at safety, but not very expensive at safety.
Right.
You know.
I mean, as
opposed to going the free agent route or whatever, he could even be your third guy right off the bat if you signed a KZ type guy.
I'd play a lot of three safety packages.
And
move Minka around like a chess piece, like what you tried to do.
I think they'd love to play three safeties, and injuries have prohibited that a lot over the last 2 years.
Is that something that you think is becoming more and more prevalent in the league, three safety look?
Yeah.
And is it because the tight ends are getting better and teams
are
running
the
ball more?
Much better. 12 personnel is not really 12 personnel. It's 11 and a half. You know what I mean? I think you're seeing fewer Welkers in the world, too.
Yeah.
So therefore you get fewer Hiltons in the slot. You know, like, for example, the Ravens were interesting this year because Kyle Hamilton – is a safety. He's 6'3". He's a first-round pick out of Notre Dame. Everyone knows who he is. He's a really good player. In half their packages, he's always on the field. But half their packages, he would be the slot. And the other half, it was Mallett, who people know around here.
Yeah.
And they're very different. They don't look the same. One's way more talented than the other. But depending if and they played a lot of three safeties. Yeah, I mean, and not to mention, there's a bit of a real linebacker shortage in the league, too.
You know, well, there's guys, that, too, yeah.
So let's make up for it with three safeties. You know, like, it's a bad example because it didn't work, but the Steelers kind of tried that with, like, Burnett and Edmonds that year when they could, after Shazier went down, you know, that they had to make up for it in other ways. Now, you could do it with better players. Right. You know what I mean?
I just feel like, too, because of the way the college game has changed, you're seeing cornerbacks being a lot of cornerbacks at safety.
Yeah.
And you're seeing those safeties become linebackers.
Become linebackers, right.
And that's the trickle-down effect of all these spread offenses.
More speed. Especially at college with the wide side of the field and all that, too. One thing about – this isn't exactly what we're talking about, but if you really dug in and had to write an NFL scouting report on a college safety, it's hard. I mean, even on all 22, there's a lot of plays where they don't do anything. They just roam around late, way off the ball, and then – quick hitting RPO comes out and they come up and tackle or not. They hardly ever play man. You know, like, it's a hard position to evaluate. And every team, a safety's not a safety in the NFL. I mean, every team wants something different from that position, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I think those guys that take the ball away, and I know Newbin and Kinchins both do that. Those are valuable.
They're very attractive. Yeah. Yep. And I still think, you know, nothing against that group, but I think they're undervalued on the free agent market, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get a pretty solid one for $3, $4 million that you're happy
with. If you want to go that route.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wonder, you know, after – I mean, the Steelers went that route this year at linebacker and safety.
Mm-hmm.
What two positions did they get hit the most with injuries?
Yeah.
Linebacker and safety, because the older players tend to get injured more.
And it's nothing against any of those dudes, but – their original team decided they didn't want him anymore either.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a handful of durability issues or whatever? I mean, just buying other people's byproducts isn't the best way to live, but you got to supplement it with it. You can't find everything in the draft either.
No, you can't do it that way. It's just, it's impossible. I've seen, you know, people going this right after the Steelers released, you know, the
Lassery.
Yeah. Well, they don't have anything left from their 2018, 2019 drafts if Mason Rudolph leaves. 2018 in the NFL is ancient history at this point.
It's a far time ago, No question about it. Is that the Edmonds draft?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not the greatest draft. No one's going to say that it's the Webster draft.
But that's a long time.
It's a long time, right. I mean, if you get a quality career, a quality first contract out of second, third, fourth round picks, it's pretty much all you can ask for.
Yeah. I mean, Ben, you know, 2018, Ben Roethlisberger's considered in his prime at that point.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Antonio Brown's lighting the league up. And it was a while ago.
Anyways, that was Bucky Brooks' top players at each position in this upcoming NFL draft. As of right now, that'll change.
Oh, dramatically.
He'll adjust that as we move through the process here. But let's get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go!
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Matt, we've been going over the last couple weeks here, the last week or so, some of the free agent positions and who's going to be available, what their market values might be.
Yeah.
And I've got the offensive line here in front of me today.
Okay.
And I don't know if I want to shop in this market.
No. I definitely don't think you look at guards, you know, and Herbig's going to be back as your third guard as well. Spencer Anderson's probably going to make this team and has some value somewhere on the line. I don't ever want to shop in the offensive tackle market, to be honest with you. There's one tackle that I have some interest in, but I don't think that works out, and that's Owenahu from the Patriots. I think they've done a disservice and moved him around a ton. That if you just stuck him at right tackle, I think you could maybe get value out of him. But again, shopping in that aisle is way too pricey and rarely pays off.
Yeah.
The centers don't sound great, but I do think there's four or five that would be better. And in, you know, professional starting centers that are in their coming off their first contract, I think, is sort of attractive. That would make you a better team. And I know Powers Johnson and Frazier and even Barton are really attractive. But if you went into the draft knowing you didn't need one, there's value in that too, you know?
Yeah. Just looking here at the centers, we mentioned Connor Williams. He's coming off of an ACL injury. The market value on him, even coming off that injury, is $13.5 million.
I bet it's high. Yeah, he had a really good year and then got hurt. And he was a guard only for the Cowboys, so reinvented himself as a center this past year and did fine. You know? But, I mean, he's good.
Yeah, I mean, there's just...
Cushenberry's the other one that I bet will be expensive with that or with Denver.
Surprisingly, he doesn't have a market value on here, but he's really? 26. I would imagine that's $6 to $8 million a year.
I would think maybe more.
Yeah.
Maybe more. He's definitely an ascending player, 26 years old, moves well. I think he was a second round pick and he's starting to, you know, live into that. Biotish from Dallas is sort of interesting. Upgrade, but not the next Mike Webster, you know, I mean, obviously. And James from the Raiders is also sort of intriguing. Again, none of these names make you do cartwheels. Everyone's going to say, give me Powers Johnson. Hey, I get it. But you can't get everything in the draft.
Yeah.
You know?
They have a market value here on Aaron Brewer.
Yeah.
Of $5.2 million.
Yeah. I think he's – do they have his height and weight?
I don't know that they – let me see here. They do not.
Okay. Because I'm almost certain – he's a Titan, right?
Yeah.
I'm almost certain he's – noticeably under 300 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when he came in the league, they had to keep bulking him up. He may even have been a tight end in another life. You know what I mean? And he's gotten better with it, but I don't know that this team wants a 295-pound center.
No, I think part of the issue that you play teams that are going to put somebody over top of you, and then that's going to be a struggle.
I mean, Damian Pierce is going to line up over you.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He is 26.
Okay, I thought he was first contract guy, too.
Yeah.
It's not great.
I would rather just go into this draft trying to get that guy and doing what I need to do to get that guy because I want to solve that position and I don't want to have to think about it for the next decade.
I hear you. I mean, because this draft sets up quite well in one of the top two rounds that you should be able to get one of the two. I hear you. But I also would love to get a receiver and a corner and a tackle and you know what I mean?
I
don't want to go tackle shopping.
Yeah.
Although I can live with Dan Moore. I mean, I can live with Mason Cole, but I think you could try to do better at one or both those positions for sure. But I assume if they don't sign one, Cole's probably still on the roster, maybe restructured, maybe not. And in a very Kevin Colbert-like manner, I could live with him when I can line him up on Sunday, but I might end up with Powers Johnson or one of those dudes that's way more upside, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's just – it's not super exciting. It's not a
– No, it's far from exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, like, James with the Raiders is an ascending player that no one knows anything about that's listening. But he's solid. You know, I mean, it's – there's a little bit of a spoiled Steeler fan here, too. Like, Pouncey, Webster, Dawson. Like, yeah, that's great. But you can live with the 12th best center in the league, too, and that doesn't go to the Pro Bowl every year.
Yeah,
you can still win games with it, you know.
I just.
But there is maybe one sitting there looming on draft day.
Yeah, and maybe I'm
torn on it.
Yeah, I'm not Powers Johnson or bust because things can happen. Teams could trade ahead of you.
Right.
Somebody else could take him. That's just the way it goes. It's a draft. You don't have the first overall pick, nor would you spend the first overall pick on a center.
He's really attractive, and there's a really good chance he's there at 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Frazier's pretty attractive, too, and there's a really good chance he's there in the 50s. I hear you. What I haven't come to the great conclusion with is what positions outside the organization do you spend on in free agency? I don't want to spend on tackle. A third receiver doesn't really excite me either in a really strong receiver draft. And center on offense is really the only one that makes – much sense to me. If you're going to go get a corner, but we've gone through those, you're not going to get Snead or Johnson probably. Do you want to give Awuzie $12 million and hope that that's a noticeable upgrade? I understand spending on a safety. I understand spending on a B-level linebacker.
I also don't have to spend that
I know,
money.
I know.
Like that's the thing here. And if I have to go again, we went over this receiver list last week. If I have to spend $4 million to go get a third wide receiver, okay.
Mm-hmm. Josh Reynolds or
something that's
serviceable. I just would like to eliminate a need or two before you make your first draft pick.
Yeah.
You know, take something off the table.
They actually have a market value here on Nick Akinne Westbrook.
Oh, yeah. That was the other name.
$2.5 million.
Yeah, like I would do that in a heartbeat,
spend
too.
That.
Yeah.
You know, I to me, what the Steelers did last year, and it's kind of the way that they've always approached free agency, is to give me quantity over quality.
Not
necessarily over quality. I'm still getting quality players, but I'm getting them, a bunch of them.
Two B minuses instead of an A.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that. No, I could see that being a
strategy. Because you end up overpaying for the A, and 2 years from now, you might not be happy with that contract.
Mm-hmm. I want to throw something out at you. I already know your answer. Would you consider, not Chris Jones, but Wilkins or Reeder? There's another defensive tackle hitting the market that's going to be expensive.
I'm not interested in spending $20 million.
I'd say a $20 million, 26-year-old, really good defensive tackle. And to do that, you cut Ogunjobi, you know, which frees 8 or 9 or something like that. I don't even know if those guys will hit the market. You know, Wilkins, Reeder. I bet Reeder does. Chris Jones, I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about going to get the highest paid defensive player.
I don't even know if Reeder signs in the offseason. Coming off a torn ACL.
I don't know what his injury stuff is.
I think it was an ACL, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it wasn't early in the season.
It was late
in
the season.
Yeah. But there's one more name I'm trying to think of that's a star.
Here's the problem, and this is always the issue that the Steelers have.
It's not
have.
Their style.
You're not going to pay any defensive lineman that you got coming in more than you're paying Cam Hayward.
Right. And they would demand it.
And that's what they would want.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam Hayward's base salary is $16 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to go ask Cam Hayward, as some people are suggesting. Well, you need to go get him to take a pay cut. You're not going to ask him.
He might restructure, but you're
not
going to
You're not taking a pay cut if you're Cam Hayward. You're saying no.
The conversation with Cam isn't going to be, we're going to pay you $10 million this year, take it or leave it.
Right.
That's not going to be the conversation. Right.
So you're not going to pay that guy more than you're paying Cam, especially if you get him to lower his contract. I just don't see that happening.
I have no idea what Reeder would cost. He's more of a nose, but he's good. I mean, like, you would be really good in the trenches.
Not if he can't play.
Well, not if he can't play, right. Are you looking at the D-tackle list?
I'm looking at the Steelers seller.
Okay.
But I can get the defensive tackle list here.
Because I don't want to go D-tackle shopping in the draft.
No, it's not a good idea.
I mean, it is bad business. I can live with Ogunjobi, but if I could turn – my thoughts are, just trying to look at it from different angles, if I can turn Ogunjobi plus $8 million into a Pro Bowler – I'd think about it.
I mean, you're looking at...
But I bet Wilkins is 20.
Huge money here. Chris Jones, for example.
He's going to be the highest paid defensive
$28.4 million.
Yeah.
That ain't happening.
I'm not even considering him.
Christian Wilkins.
I bet he's over 20. 20-ish.
Where is he at on here? Gotta find. I don't like how they sort these.
I know. Sometimes that site's hard to find. Even if you sort it by snap counts, that doesn't mean...
Christian Wilkins, you're looking at $20.2 million.
Yeah, that's about what I thought. He's 26, 27, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough market to shop in.
It is.
Daquan Jones, he's 32.
Yeah, Jones would be much cheaper.
$6.8 million.
Yeah, that's okay.
But you're basically,
it'd be a stopgap one-year type deal.
Yeah, you're kind of renting him for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I do
want to bring Watts back.
I would like to do that.
I mean,
that.
He's not in this neighborhood. I mean, he's a backup rotational guy, but yeah.
I don't know if they have a number here on him.
I bet he gets a $1 million raise than what he got.
He made 1.2 this year.
Yeah, so he's probably 2.25, something like that.
I got no problem doing that. Again, and that's if I got to do that, and that's how that money is allocated, I would rather do that with guys that I know and who know my system, getting raises as opposed
I'm talking in addition to him. I think you bring him back at that number no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
In the exact same role. I'm talking about someone over Ogunjobi, because you can't afford both. And you could save money by cutting Ogunjobi. I don't have a problem with Ogunjobi.
Yeah. You know, you're not going to give Matt a bouquet.
That was the other name I knew was going to be really expensive. Yeah. He's going to be the same number as Wilkins, probably.
20.3, so yeah. He's a little bit more.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that's why he won't be a Raven.
Like, right, right, right. I mean,
DJ Reader at 20, he'll be 30, coming off of a knee injury. He's $15 million.
I'm interested, though.
See, I'm not.
See, I'm
not
interested
for a guy who's coming off a knee injury.
Well, my doctors would have to clear. I mean, I can't comment on the injury. I mean, assuming he's ready for camp.
He got hurt in week 15.
Was it? Yeah. And he's not young. I would just be interested, or I'd kick the tires on Ogunjobi plus $9 million out of pocket turns me into an upgrade there. Like a big upgrade, like Pro Bowl type dude.
Like, that's where it gets difficult because, mm-hmm. you know, who fits into what you want to do?
It's Wilkins. It's Reader Healthy. It's Matabuke. Yeah. That's an expensive watch. I mean, that's not usually their style.
It is not.
I mean, it really isn't. Mix those guys with Benton and Cam. And
yeah, I just think at that position you try to develop what you have and continue to work that way. To mm-hmm. me, I don't want to.
I also don't mind Adams coming back, too.
No, I would take that as
well. Watts and Adams could both come back.
Yeah, because this, I'm looking at this group here. And
I would go big or go nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, except for the two guys that were here last
week. You going to spend $10 million on Sheldon Rankins?
No.
No.
No, no, no. I mean, it would have to be somebody that's noticeably better than Ogunjobi. It's the only Waters I'm shopping in. If I'm going to spend money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think they will. I just think you got to look at every angle at every position. They are going to have some money to spend. Where's it going to go? You know?
Yeah. I mean, Quentin Jefferson?
Like, no.
He's 31.
No, like, that doesn't qualify for me.
Yeah.
It'd be one of those big names. It'd be Matabuke. It'd be Wilkins. It'd be Reader.
Yeah, 33-year-old Fletcher Cox. No,
he'll be an Eagle or nothing. Yeah, you know, too. No, not those. Again, it would be a home run or nothing at D tackle for me.
Yeah, I just can't. I'm not gonna. Those guys are gonna get bidding wars.
Oh yeah,
you're gonna get into a bidding war for the defensive tackle. Right. I'm not gonna go there.
Yeah, now they're gonna get 3 years, $60 million. 3 years, $63 million, something like that. With big bonus. I mean. Big money. It's not usually their move. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. Outside of that, I mean, you know, the linebacker position we've talked about, mm-hmm. I think you can get some guys there. And
same as safety.
Yeah, safety, I think you can get some guys there.
Yeah. And there hopefully are some dudes that are cut. You know, maybe there's some new names to that list in the coming weeks. It would be interesting for all positions.
Yeah. One that we haven't talked about that they now have an opening for is punter.
Yeah.
And
would you go get a real one? You know, like someone that's whoever the best guy in the market is for $2.5 million and just be done with it?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Braden Mann,
okay.
who they cut to keep Presley Harvin last year.
Yeah.
Is a free agent.
Okay.
He's 26.
Do they at least know about him?
He's 26 years old. He was with you all throughout camp last year. He averaged 49 yards a punt this year in Philadelphia.
Did he really?
In Philadelphia.
Maybe that's a call you make. They don't have projected salaries for him.
They do not have that.
But he's not good.
But he's unrestricted. He's a punter.
He's not expensive, right.
Yeah. Some of these other guys.
I like the familiarity factor.
Yeah. Cameron Johnston from Houston. Tommy Townsend from Kansas City.
I know nothing about punters. I didn't even know who Kansas City's punter was, to be honest with you.
I mean, it's
embarrassing. Yeah.
But there's guys here that you could sign.
Yeah.
Who have been punters and
I don't hate that route as opposed to using a seventh round pick on a guy and hoping he hits.
Yeah.
You know,
I would rather go the. I mean, again, it's
Mann makes a lot of sense.
Mann would be.
Done with it.
To me, I think that they release Presley Harvin instead of bringing him back to camp again for some same reason we talked about. Mm-hmm. They had both of those guys in camp last year.
How do I cut him? He's booming things left and right. And the nice warm
Harvin
days,
was clearly the winner in training camp.
Yeah.
We watched it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go into the regular season, and Braden Mann averages 49 yards a kick, and Presley Harvin averages 43 mm-hmm. or 44.
And I think anyone watching would have picked Harvin over Mann.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think they looked at it and said, you know what? We're not going to be we're not going to be fooled by that again.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it. If you Presley Harvin in September...
Oh, that was
over
good.
His career, averaged 46 yards a kick. Presley Harvin in December, over the last four games of the season, averaged 41 yards a kick.
Wow. That's a massive difference. And not a coincidence.
So I think they looked at it and said, you know what? We made the mistake last year by cutting Braden Mann instead of Presley Harvin. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be tempted by that again. Let's get him out of the building. We've been fooled three times by this now.
I kind of assumed all along we'll be talking at camp next year as a seventh rounder and an undrafted free agent going at it, or three undrafted free agents going at it. But it's hard to tell what they really are in that environment. Even if they're the best special teams coach or punter guru of all time, unless one of them's awesome.
And a big part of the job is holding on field goals and point afters.
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody that Boswell. That's people
I
ask.
Assume
why,
man's
why
good
did
at that.
Why didn't they bench Presley Harvin for the playoffs? Because he's your holder.
Yeah, it's like benching Nolan Ryan's favorite catcher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's even worse than that. Like, this puts points on the board. Mm-hmm. You're going to put somebody in who Boswell hasn't worked with all year long.
I don't know if Mann's a good holder or not. I have no clue, but he's in the league.
If you bring him in, at least you can work with him on it.
Yeah, the Eagles kicker was great, so the hold must have been decent. I mean, again, this isn't great analysis, but right.
Yeah.
I like that route. I'd love to not talk about punters again. Just sign one that's the guy.
Yeah.
Just even if it's a million more than you planned on spending.
Yeah, and there are veteran guys out there, and there may be more veteran guys out there.
And there are probably a couple that are going to become available, too.
Yeah, you know? It only becomes a problem when you don't have a good one.
Yes.
Otherwise, I mean, you know, if you average, go out there and average 45 yards a punt, and you average 45 yards a punt in September, and you average 45 yards
consistent.
A punt.
Just be consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
You can't give me a 35-yarder in the rain in Baltimore. And you just go, oh, well.
That's okay.
That happened. You got to be consistent.
I was looking for his name. I guess he didn't qualify. But this chart here of EPA per punters, Harvin was 30th.
Yeah.
And I don't see Mann's name on here.
He's higher.
He has to be higher. Oh, he's real high. Okay. He is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's 7th.
Yeah.
He was 7th best punter in the league basically last year. I'll give that $2 million.
Right.
I'll
give him good money to come here.
Yeah, do that. That'd be great. Just be consistent, and you know, I can trust you.
I will say this. If you look back at the punters, the guys who punted when the Steelers won Super Bowls, it is not a who's who of...
They're not Hall of Famers.
They're not Hall of Fame punters, no.
Like, a fun game in Steeler history is, let's put together the best 11, you know. Punter's not so great.
No.
Punter's not, you know, like, at least kickers, there's Gary Anderson, there's Boz, you know, there's borderline Hall of Famers, and there's Hall of Famers at every other position. It's like, my punter.
No.
And they've won a lot of games without, you know, star punters.
Yeah. But you can't be bad there.
Yeah, don't stink
there. You can't be bad there.
Yeah, I think that's the goal. I like that call.
Yeah.
Mann would be a call I'd be making right now.
Yeah. Well, you can't make it yet.
Well, when you're allowed.
When you are allowed.
Don't tell anyone. Yeah.
So, you know, that might be their first move in free agency.
It might be. I'm like, oh, boy, Steelers really work.
And the jokes will fall. Oh, they're signing a punter because, you know.
They don't know how to evaluate anyone. They didn't keep the right guy last year. They could have had him this year. Blah, blah, blah. They're idiots.
I'm telling you, folks, we saw every kick
it wasn't
in training camp, and it wasn't close.
Yeah. Harvin's a tease.
He is in August.
He crushes the ball.
It looks like he's kicking the ball with helium in it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing will happen, we were trying to joke about this on Monday, the Falcons will sign him or the Saints will sign him, and they'll be like, oh, Steelers couldn't get anything out of this guy.
Yeah, he'll average 50 yards a kick.
He'll be the Pro
indoors.
Bowl next year, right.
Yeah.
Never play a bad weather game. Yeah. And they should sign him.
He's not a bad weather punter.
No.
He just isn't.
It's happened year after year.
Yeah.
And, boy, the shanks were brutal.
Yeah. You just couldn't live with it anymore.
No, you can't.
Anyways, let's get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back to finish up the show right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go!
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Steeler page, you can gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats, or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives you can only find directly from the team at one of the official Steelers Pro Shops. They're located at Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or you can visit online at shop.com. Steelers.com. Maybe get yourself that new punter jersey whenever he
gets. Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Maybe if the foundational dude's going to be here for a while. Yeah.
First in your neighborhood to have that. some guys on this list here that you might want to get some jerseys for at Steelers.com. The NFL has been breaking down, giving out their NFL rookie grades for each division.
Oh, really?
And today they released AFC North.
Oh, okay. You said it's on NFL.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they've done the South, the AFC West. So really the only one they haven't done yet is the AFC East.
Okay. They're going division by division. Yeah. Knocked out six of them already. Seven now.
Not surprisingly, Steelers get an A.
I 100% agree. I mean, there's not many. I'd have to really give it some thought, but there haven't
been many A's given out. I think there were only two in the entire NFC.
Okay. I would think the Lions would be one. Trying to think who else was even at the top of the list.
Might have been the Rams.
Like, Houston will get an A.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, there's not many classes I would put over the Steelers top to bottom.
Yeah. And Chad Reuter wrote this. Here's what he had to say about the Steelers. Broderick Jones began the year backing up Dan Moore at left tackle, starting twice, and then stepped in on the right side. As expected, Jones was an athletic and feisty blocker for the Steelers down the stretch. He should be a long-term starter at either tackle spot, depending on how the team approaches the offseason.
You nailed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the running game spiked when he came in, too. Yeah.
Joey Porter Jr. was no legacy pick as the son of a famed Steelers pass rusher of the same name. The team saw great value sitting there with the first pick of the second round. After a few weeks, Porter became the starter and gave up just one touchdown the entire season, according to Next Gen Stats, earning a spot among the Defensive Rookie of the Year finalists. I expect he'll be joining his dad among the ranks of the NFL Pro Bowlers in the near future.
Well said yet again.
Yes.
Nailed it, yeah.
Like Porter, Keanu Benton played in every game, and his strength and athleticism were evident throughout. The selection of the hustling Nick Herbig, who had three sacks, as a strong reserve, gave the Steelers a trifecta of excellent rookies who immediately improved all three levels of the defense. Darnell Washington was such a perfect fit for Pittsburgh, it's no surprise that he logged a lot of snaps. He had just seven receptions on the year for 61 yards, but it was his blocking that earned him a spot in the field as the team's two tight end sets. He earned the fourth best pass blocking grade on the team per Pro Football Focus.
Gotcha. Again, my expectations for those three are, I mean, Benton obviously way out-snapped Herbig, but I think both those guys' roll snap percentage will go up next year. Golden's a free agent, but I think he could be back. But either way, I think Herbig's going to see the field more. I think Benton becomes more of an every-down player. And I think Washington gets more involved in the passing game. I don't think he's going to catch 50 balls, but I mean, I think he gets more involved in the passing game.
So they got an A.
They should, yeah.
Cincinnati got a B+. Which is saying something, considering their number one pick, Miles Murphy.
He was sort of there. Didn't even do great.
Didn't do diddly-poo.
Run through the names real quick, if you would. We don't need to read the paragraph, but just who they were.
Round one was Miles Murphy at 28.
Mm-hmm.
At 60, they took D.J. Turner.
He played a lot. He became a starter, yeah.
In three, they took safety Jordan Battle.
They happen to have snap counts or anything there?
17 games, seven starts for Battle.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Their safeties were problems this year, though.
Round four was Charlie Jones.
Okay.
Wide receiver.
Could be in the mix for the third receiver.
Yeah.
Next year.
Round five was Chase Brown, running back.
That's a hit.
Round six, Andre Esiwas.
He could be in the mix for the third receiver.
Wide receiver. Yeah. Brad Robbins, their punter in round six as well. And round seven was DJ Ivy, another cornerback.
Okay. Not a bad class. I would give it like a C+, B-.
Yeah, he gave him a B+. I don't know if I get. Yeah. I don't know if I go B+. You can't have your first round.
I don't see any stars there.
DJ Turner played a lot, but he wasn't great.
No, I think he'll be a starter next year. And
I know when the Steelers played them, they went after him.
Yeah. You know? No, I wouldn't think that's a great class by any means.
That's kind of a C.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The Ravens. Now remember, when the Ravens do their drafts, they get an A+.
Well, every year,
time,
of course. But of course.
So that was Zay Flowers in round one at 22.
They're happy with that. Yeah, that worked.
Round three, they didn't have a second round pick.
Mm-hmm. It's the first year they haven't had a ton of picks in a while.
Round three was Trenton Simpson.
We'll see.
The linebacker.
He's the queen replacement.
Round four was Tavius Robinson, an edge rusher.
I don't know what he did, if anything.
17 games, one start.
Must have been a special teamer, yeah.
Round five was Caillou Blue Kelly.
Kind of liked him coming out.
He ended up the season playing for Green Bay, then with Seattle, then with Washington.
Oh, so he didn't make the final roster?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was on three different teams last
year.
Four different teams. Round six, Malasala Amavuehe Lalu, an offensive lineman, didn't play.
No sound about him.
Yeah. Round seven was Andrew Voorhees, didn't play. And
he was kind of the Zinter, though. Remember, yeah. He got hurt at the combine? Yeah. So maybe he's in the mix this year.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they signed Keaton Mitchell as well.
Oh, good. So they put an undrafted free agent on there. But Mitchell was worth it.
They got a B for that. Now, Zay Flowers was more impactful than anybody that was on Cincinnati's draft class.
No doubt. But the rest of that class is blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not impressed. Those are both C's to me, C pluses.
The Browns, well, they got a C.
They didn't have a high pick either.
Cedric Tillman at 74.
I expected a lot more out of him. He didn't look good at all year.
Siaki Ika at 98.
Did he get any starts?
No. He only played in four games.
Okay.
He was often a
healthy scratch.
Healthy
I think,
scratch.
Yeah.
Daywon Jones to start in round four at 111.
That's probably their best pick.
Isaiah McGuire at 126. Four games, one start.
Okay.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson, 8 games, 3 starts. That was
maybe he's a long-term number two.
That was around that was a pick 140 in round five. 142. Then they took Cameron Mitchell, cornerback, 13 games, 3 starts. Luke Whipler in round six at pick 190, 5 games, 1 start. And a notable free agent Mohamed Diabate, a linebacker, started 1 game, played in all 16 games, I should say. Ronnie Hickman at safety, 10 games, 4 starts. And Khalif Helassi, a cornerback, 9 games, 1 start.
Okay. I mean,
that's a definite C.
That's a C. I mean, there's no star power.
Yeah.
They didn't have any early picks. I mean, Jones might be a long-term right tackle, which you're real happy about. I mean, his durability and weight would scare me, but they didn't pay a lot for him. Tillman needs to be better.
This is their problem, though, is they need to hit on some of these guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, because
they have to because they traded all the picks away.
Yeah. Did the Steelers not have any signed free agents?
They didn't have any free agents.
Am I missing somebody? I didn't think.
Yeah, this was not like last year when Jalen Warren came.
Yeah, yeah. It made an impact. I definitely would take the Steelers number one. It's not even close in the division.
Yeah. No,
I think the Browns are pretty clearly four.
Yeah.
The other two are okay. I mean, Zay Flowers is a really nice player.
But you didn't get
anything
else.
That's the only really nice.
Yeah. Other than Keaton Mitchell, and he only lasted 8 games.
I mean, maybe this is an exaggeration, but is Zay Flowers the only really nice player in the division that's not a Steeler? You know, like,
yeah,
might
kinda.
Be a Pro Bowler one day. Or yeah. I mean, he's a long way from that, and you know, at that position. But I mean, he's the only one.
You'd certainly take Porter over DJ Turner.
Oh yeah,
they were both second round draft picks, far apart, but still.
I'm just talking about non-Steelers. Who else is a really nice player in the division that's a rookie that's not named Flowers? I can't quite go there with Dawn Jones.
If you were putting together a list of the top 5 rookies in the division.
It's Flowers and probably 4 Steelers. Maybe Jones is 5th or something.
Yeah.
You know? But Benton, Porter, and Steelers Jones are all on the list.
Yeah, they're all on there.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take the Steelers Jones over the Browns Jones at tackle.
Yeah.
But they're both, you know, hits. Yeah, it's not great.
Good draft. Need to repeat it.
They need to repeat it. Boy, that would go a long way. And when you look back in Steeler history, putting two really good drafts together usually pays off in a big way.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Yeah. When you get and in any draft, if you get 3 starters out of a draft, it was an excellent draft.
It's an excellent draft. Yeah.
You get 2, you did okay.
Mm-hmm. I still think Spencer Anderson could be a player here.
Yeah.
You know, like they're going to probably. I mean, I don't know if he'll make the team the next 3 years. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but. I bet he ends up starting or being useful on his rookie contract.
Yeah.
Maybe as soon as next year.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, well, I mean, I think it was a hit, and we'll continue to work towards what the Steelers are going to do this year in draft.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk a lot about that over the next couple of months here.
But if that draft class could take a step forward overall, you know, now you're really cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to do it for today's show. So, for my partner, Matt Williamson, for C.J. Mosley. Yeah, C.J. Mosley. Wow, he's doing
good linebacker for
the Jets. How
about
C.J. Wolfley?
There you go.
He's in there keeping track.
I'm going to spit my water out on that one.
C.J. Wolfley's keeping us on the air here today. I'm Dale Lally. We appreciate you listening to this edition of The Drive
on Steelers Nation Radio.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.